That is a powerful clap.
Ow. I've had years of clapping practice.
Ow. I think my eardrums have ruptured and are spurting eardrum goo.
Butterscotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 58 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm the Weber Grill. I'm a Weber Grill.
I'm Carolyn. I'm a people person.
I'm Sam, and I make art and stuff.
And today is August 2th, 2016.
August 2th.
Warning!
Warning!
Anything can happen on this show. There's gonna be cursing. Also, we're recording much earlier in the morning than normal, so there's gonna be extra cursing.
We're on the morning drunk high.
Yeah.
Sleepiness.
So if you don't like those kinds of languages, then get out. All right.
Out.
Now that we've provided that opportunity, let's let it flow. What happened? What happened this weekend or this week?
This week.
What is happening?
We're launching on GOG.
Oh my God.
What is GOG?
GOG, good old games. Which apparently simply means that they are DRM free.
That's what makes them good.
Because the old ones did used to not be.
No, but I think they originally were. Their plan was to be like a warehouse of retro games.
Yeah.
Oh. That was the
But it turned
plan.
Out none of them had DRM, and then everybody was like, oh, this is where you go for DRM free games.
I mean, Crashlands is like 7 months old, so
it is
pretty much retro.
It's retro. Yeah. It's pretty old.
It's a good point. Dogs have an age sort of thing that a metric we use.
Like a 7 to 1.
Yeah, 7 to 1. What's the age range for games?
Like probably 30 to 1.
I think it's probably 31.
Yeah.
I'm still going 1,000.
A game that's 1 year old is, you know, starting to get into that
middle age
point,
replacing hips.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
about 30, I guess I'm replacing
depends
my
on how
I'm a middle-aged
there
game.
There are people who get hip replacements at early ages.
I mean,
they don't take good care of their bodies.
You're doing input replacements. So.
I am. Yeah. I'm refactoring all kinds of stuff. I'm just trying to keep it alive, you know.
And then hobble along a little longer.
Live!
And it is true that in the process, you might accidentally kill it. So,
oh.
Yeah. And it's getting more and more frail as the years, the minutes go by. But
it may start,
like years.
It may start shattering mid-century colloquialisms.
Scallywags.
We can only hope. And also, we launched a new website.
Website is
very nice.
He's got flippy floppies and clicky clackies.
Yeah.
It has flip flops.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hidden. They're hidden.
Okay.
Yeah. They're at the bottom.
There's a lot of Easter
eggs. They're under the footer.
Well, let's talk about the footer, though, because we had a cool thing going on. On the footer.
What happened in the footer?
Well, so we originally came up with the idea that we wanted to do some sort of Easter egg, and we didn't have tons of time to go deep into the Easter egg realm, but
it takes a lot of time to dye them, and you got to get the yolks out, and
if you boil them for the right amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travel into the Easter egg realm is just...
It's dangerous.
It's really dangerous.
It is. There's the March Hares and Cheshire Cats.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess we only were able to get like how many of them?
So there's 50 what?
How many
of
Easter eggs?
Yeah. There's 55 of these little trading cards.
Okay. Collected 55 before.
That was a bloody excursion.
We had to kill a large number of rabbits. I mean,
murdering so many rabbits.
I think Carol's blocked it out because, you know, it was very traumatic for all of us.
Carol had to take a mental health leave this weekend just to get over the Easter slaughter of 2016.
Yeah, so we're not, well, you know.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
we want to get more Easter eggs.
I'm having flashbacks.
Yeah.
I love the question, actually.
What?
Because the thing that we're talking about, which we haven't even... I don't think you've been explained yet.
You just said there's Easter eggs in the footer. I think that's enough of an Easter egg.
We'll leave it in there, but I do have a question, though, which is all these Easter eggs, because an Easter egg can be kind of a thing you stumble across and find. It's kind of a classic one, right? When we're saying we have 54 Easter eggs, they're all in the same spot. So Correct. Is that one Easter egg with 55 variants?
Oh, my God. I don't even know what an Easter egg is.
Anyway,
all right, no, I mean,
it's a thing that you find and you're like excited about it because it's colorful and like
egg-like.
Maybe has chocolate inside. Egg-like. Maybe has rotten yolk inside. You don't know.
It's exciting.
Yolk. You don't know until you put the whole thing.
Until
you
pop it in your mouth and crunch down.
Yeah.
Then you know. Then you really know.
Easter eggs. So I eat a string.
Truly. You can also find out if they're that hard plastic shell or a real egg.
Or,
you know,
Kinder, what are the Kinder eggs?
That had the things in them.
Yeah.
Oh, let me ask you guys America. This.
Yeah.
All right. So Cadbury mini eggs, as we all know, are the greatest food in the universe.
The greatest and other best food? Food in the world.
Yeah. There's other food at other times of the year because Cadbury mini eggs stop existing and then humanity has to subsist on garbage for the next 11 months.
That probably explains the shitty state of the world.
Yeah. Right. Is now. That there's not enough Cadbury mini eggs yeah. around.
Oh.
But you know how there's those Cadbury cream eggs that yeah. are full yeah. of that horrifying goo?
Yeah.
What's horrifying about
it's,
it?
It's the sweetest substance that exists.
It's so good.
I know, like, I like it, but even for me, I eat one of those things and I'm like, my teeth are going to fall right
yeah,
out.
I think well, there's all this demonstrates there's a yin and yang to every single food item that exists. And the Cadbury filled eggs
is both.
Well, yeah, they're disgusting.
Disgusting.
They got too much yin.
Every time I bite one and I see the goo like blah, like slurping out of there, I'm like, is this lotion? What the yeah. fuck is this? Like, who put lotion inside
it's
my
viscous?
Yeah. What's going on?
I do not want.
It's so good. And then there's like the little squirt of yellow.
Yeah. No. What is that about?
No.
It's the yolk.
It's the yolk.
It's the yolk.
Oh, yeah.
So we have also got
a new lore story coming out.
Yeah.
Today? So
oh, wait. We should probably finish the GOG announcement thing.
Oh, yeah. It's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming
Rewind.
Out.
We'll
be coming. Out on GOG today on the podcast, August 3rd.
Yeah. Podcast time.
We do record one day in advance, so it's real. It's yeah. confusing.
So yeah. you get it all DRM free, or you can just, we'll be on their podcast, one of us will be, and on popping into their Twitch stream sometime as well. So,
yeah. So GOG is a cool company. They suppose they're really good to their people.
We'll find out.
So far, they seem very friendly yeah, to devs. So if you're not into GOG or don't know about it, you should definitely scope it out, mm-hmm. listeners, not the three
scope
of you.
Scope it out and
at.
Then scoop up a copy of Crashlands while you're there because it's going to yeah. be there.
So. Scoop it with your cash dollars.
Yeah.
With the cash.
You just kind of form your dollar into like a Frito-like scoop.
Yes.
And just get yourself a good fat helping of Crashlands. all right. So, you were saying something about lore. Lore stories?
Yeah.
Something?
Well, so, yeah.
Cool.
It was, and
yeah. It's a thing that's happening.
We worked up the sort of back history lore stuff for the next title, which essentially takes place, that big chunk of lore takes place between the end of Crashlands and the beginning of the next game, Codename Brunch. We've decided to kind of put out little, similar to the Brahma the Seed Soul stories, we'll be putting out little lore pieces that are sliced up into thirds or something like that, essentially every week for the next foreseeable future.
Every week, huh?
Every single week. I'm saying
you're
it.
Committing?
On,
you're
saying
you're
it
making
on
a
the
public
podcast? Mainly because I already have this one basically completely done.
The key is just to break it up into enough pieces.
That's, yeah,
right.
So you'd be like, every week it's a sentence.
You'd be like, oh crap, I only
then a word.
They wrote a paragraph. I'll just break it up into three pieces.
And he did say for the foreseeable future, and we
that's
actually
true.
Cannot foresee,
we can't foresee
the future.
It. We don't know
so
what's
going to
happen.
Isn't much of a
thank you.
So many outs
for any
this.
Period of time yeah.
so
that he may so choose.
Don't depend on this at
Carol
all.
Carol is our spoosperson.
Yeah,
but the goal is to get a sort of
not
picture painted in the background of what's going on in the world to lead up to the events of the next game, because we have plenty of time before that's actually going to hit. So mm-hmm. it'll be fun to kind of have a long chain of events leading up to it and a long piece of understanding where you'll see the different races interacting with whatever's happening, which I won't give away, and how
bad
they're dealing with
though.
It. Bad
maybe,
stuff.
Maybe.
Always bad stuff, I mean.
And probably some
depends
stuff.
On what side you're on.
That's true.
Yeah. Actually, I think on either side, there's bad stuff happening. It's just
that's true.
That's fair.
Just, you know,
it also depends on your perspective.
War's
yeah,
bad
if you're, top down and don't give a shit.
Omnipotent. Warlike.
Nothing bad is happening.
But I'm really excited about this one because I actually I'd written this, the beginning of this story, I don't know, months ago, around the same time of writing the Brahma story, but hadn't come back to revisit it. And then once we decided we're going to start up these Lore Tuesday events, I came back. And
can
then
we call them Lose Day?
Yeah, we'll start our Lose Day events. And with all the history I developed for Codename Brunch in the last couple of weeks, it put a whole new sort of angle and spin on it. And so I've been rewriting it, which is really fun. So I hope everybody enjoys it. It'll be out today.
And with a fancy new website, things will no longer get buried immediately.
Yes.
Oh, also, that new website is at www.bscotch.net.
Yeah, we're going straight Bscotch now.
We cut down the amount of typing required by some amount of percentage points.
Big ones.
We didn't measure it, but it's a just a shitload
like
of percentage.
It's like more than 5,000.
Yeah.
Percent.
Easily.
Reduction. It's before you even start typing it, you've already typed it 6 years ago.
Oh,
that's how much shorter it is.
Oh, we're so good at development.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we get to questions, I also want to tell you guys a little bit about this new game that I came across.
Oh, yeah?
Came across?
Yeah, so last night I went with my wife's work humans to a game called soccer.
Soccer.
Yeah.
It's a soccer?
Yeah, so it's a dog game?
No, actually, it's sort of like a kind of a bad clone of Rocket League with some survival elements. So, for example, I saw one of the players kind of banged into another player and he lost a whole bunch of HP. Mm-hmm. And then he was just out of the game. And there was no mechanism for him to replenish his HP, like no potions.
Whoa.
So it's really hardcore. It's kind of like,
intense.
Yeah, it's like Don't Starve in a lot of ways. So no respawn, right?
Was it a top down view? It's like a.
There's actually multiple camera angles.
Okay.
Yeah. But where we were, or sort of like in our connection to it, there was just a shitload of people standing in front of us for some reason. and we had to stand. And we were in this weird kind of prisoner's dilemma thing where everybody had to stand because the people in the front wouldn't, the people in the very front row wouldn't sit down. Yeah. So that the people behind them had to stand and the people behind them had to stand.
So there's like, there's mini games.
Yeah, there's mini games. Game. Yeah. And so there were a few times where we would get to sit, but then something maybe interesting would happen there, would stand again, and then they would forget to sit down. And then it was just a cascading sit stand problem. But there was also this really interesting mechanic in the game, which is anytime two players would get near each other, one of them would flop onto the ground, a sort of like a gambling maneuver, because then the referee would come over and there's a 50-50 chance that the other team then has to kick the ball or then there's like a penalty kind of a thing, right? So if you just fall on the ground and hold your knee,
then they blame the other person.
Well, there's a 50-50. It's like a dice roll, right? It's a 50-50 chance.
Is there any
that
penalty
one team gets blamed
for crying wolf though? I mean, if you fall on the ground and then they're like, nah, nothing happened.
No, there's no penalty.
That doesn't seem balanced.
Yeah, it's a very, it's actually, problem. It's not a very well-designed game.
Mechanic.
Yeah. But so I'm hoping maybe the devs put out some patches or something.
So what do you think?
Plus the field is way too big. Apparently it's like 11 basketball courts can fit inside of a soccer field, which is just, you know.
Who needs that many basketball
courts?
It's
just too much room.
We got time for that. We got to speed it up, you know?
Yeah.
Do they have interesting terrain within that big space?
Are there spikes?
No, there's no spikes. It's just flat. I mean, when I think they were trying to just save on polygons because they had to put a lot of you know, memory into rendering the players, right? Mm-hmm. So if you just have like a flat plane on the field,
it's
easier.
Grass. It's just some textured grass.
Just, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, from where we were, it just looked like one universal color. So it may have just been a low, like a.
Just a lousy Lambert or something.
They just put a shader on it probably.
Yeah. Cheap shader.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how many stars?
I mean, honestly, I'd give it like one star. Because it was a 90-minute game and only 3 goals were scored.
But how much did you pay for it? Was it,
oh,
was
I didn't
it
pay
worth the price of admission?
So definitely 1 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, it's freemium for
so
me.
So it's a freemium.
Yeah, I did buy a pretzel dog.
IAP. They got you with the IAP.
They did. I was a captive audience and I was like, well, I didn't pay anything. I should probably at least throw a little bit of my, you know.
Yeah.
I got a pretzel dog and it was delicious.
Were there ads too or was it just?
Oh, there's ads everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. Cash grab.
Yeah.
Were there rockets at all?
No, nobody flew. No rockets.
Garbage.
There was nobody exploded. There was the ball didn't explode.
What?
Nobody was on the ceiling, which was a real bummer.
You talk about these survival mechanics.
Yeah.
Are we talking like the normal ones, you know, where there's like a day-night cycle?
Well, it's kind of like it's a subtle mechanic that underlies the whole meta game, which is eventually the players just get old and die.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So like they can only play some number of games.
Yeah. They can only play so many games and then they just don't get to play
anymore. I actually think they get not even that old, and then they just they aren't get allowed to be about 35 like,
or something
for like their entire rest of their life, and then they die.
Wait, is it at all like Rogue Legacy or anything where you can at least carry some of that over into
maybe
the
like
next
Monster Rancher, where like when your soccer player dies and you take his soul and put
this is the hard part though, because
it adds power.
Because you know there's like a period of the soccer player's life where they probably will create, you know, spawn the next generation to pass their skills on, just like in Rogue Legacy. But they're so busy playing soccer because it's a 90-minute game. It takes forever. they just don't have the time to procreate. Yeah. And
it's not a pure genetic trait.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, you know, the idea is pretty good behind it, but the mechanics are way too limiting.
Yeah.
It's really long.
It's not. Yeah, it's just not. It needs some updates. So I think it's still probably in early access though. So yeah, whatever.
That's fair. I was thinking it'd be really cool if like one of the players could actually evolve into an NPC and
like
then
a coach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be really cool.
And you get bonuses for your whole team.
Oh yeah. Wow, that would be neat.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But anyway, I just thought, you know, it's just a kind of an interesting new game out there. So go check it out. They're trying to make it into an esport, you know, so it's on TV a little bit. So you could probably find it somewhere. So.
Cool. I don't think you can get it on Steam. Actually, you probably can.
Soccer.
S-O-C-C-E-R.
Soccer.
Oh, it's not spelled S-O-C-K-E-R?
I think.
No.
That's very weird. In like PlayStation Europe and stuff like that, they call it football.
There's in some cases there's an umlaut. The branding is way confusing. Like it's got three different names.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they try to localize it, you know, for different countries, I guess.
Oh, that's fair.
You got to change your name.
Yeah, localization is important.
Yeah, it is a global marketplace.
Speaking of this, I feel like we should actually pull in a sport every week to discuss individual design tips.
Are there enough sports that people know about?
No.
Wait, speaking of sports, the Rio Olympics is opening. Is that this week or next week?
Soon.
Are they even going to happen? I thought the whole place was trash with murdered bodies.
It is.
What?
It is.
Isn't it?
Someone already got mugged. One of the athletes already got mugged, like right outside there.
One of the athletes was training and he fell. So he was a wind sailor or something like that, whatever.
Wind sailor.
He fell, like kind of like Sailor Moon, but. He just fell into the water, which happens all the fucking time.
And then he came out as a skeleton, I assume.
No, he just like, just by falling in there, he came out, and then after about a day, he had just this like really horrible red thing on his leg. And then it turned out to be this just really, really nasty flesh eating bacteria skin infection.
What?
Nice.
And so they got it. They basically had to just like cut a hole in his leg to get it out.
Yeah.
So he just showed a picture and he just has like this 1 inch deep, 1 inch wide hole carved out of his leg because he just fell in the water playing a water sport.
Well, they said there's some report where they're like, yeah, so if you're a swimmer, if you imbibe more than one in a teaspoon,
get it in your mouth
of the water, then you're guaranteed to get some virus.
What? Like,
who as a swimmer is not going to accidentally drink literally a mouthful of water?
Did they not have chlorine in the pool?
I'm just so confused.
Or there's so many bad things in there that the chlorine's like, fuck it.
Well, everyone's the like, you know, as far as the perfect nothing. Moment for the sort of zombie outbreak situation or Plague Incorporated,
yeah,
this is it. Like, you have
all these people flying from all over the world.
Yeah, and they're going to go back home
to a trash pile.
And they're going to take all their diseases with them.
Oh, man.
Maybe Rio, maybe they're playing Plague Inc. right now.
Yeah.
We don't even know.
It's a great game.
Oh, my God.
My mind is currently just blown. It's all over the place. Pretty much.
The thing that strikes me about this is the question of, okay, you have these people who have been training literally their entire lives to do this thing on behalf of all these different countries. And then you have such... I don't know what you call it. Disrespect, I guess.
Yeah. She's like, come do your thing on this pile of trash.
Yeah, on this pile of trash.
Literal pile of garbage.
Which may, in all likelihood, end up making you not able to do that thing ever again.
But again, this is the prisoner's dilemma.
Because we cut a hole in your
again,
leg.
Right?
This is not the prisoner's
dilemma. Should I explain?
How is this the prisoner's
dilemma? Maybe explain.
So the prisoner's dilemma comes from an economics, sort of like a behavioral economic. Yeah, game theory thing.
Game theory. But I'm pretty sure this is... Okay.
So the prisoner's dilemma... Let me see if I can recount this correctly.
Right.
So basically, you have two prisoners.
Seth and I get arrested.
Each of them are co-conspirators in a crime.
Because we killed some hares and rabbits.
We murdered just so many rabbits.
Don't remind me.
So they put us each into separate rooms. And they tell each of us if you don't confess, and if your partner doesn't confess, then you're both going to get 25 years in prison, whatever. If because we have all the evidence we need, blah, blah, blah. But if you turn your partner in, then you will have a like reduced sentence. But your partner will get
a greater
extra, right? And if you both confess, then you will both have...
You both get a small amount of penalty.
Yeah.
That's because the key to the prisoner dilemma is that it's in both parties' best interest to work together.
Yes. And in this case, if they both... Well, no, isn't it? If they both confessed, then they would each get a increased sentence?
No. It's not as bad as the... As so either sense, the key is that if one person is a tattletale and the other person isn't, then that person gets no penalty at all.
Oh, right.
They just get off free.
It's like flipping on the ground in soccer. There's no penalty.
Exactly. There's no penalty for it. But, and so basically the incentive then is the best case scenario is that for both parties together, the best game theoretic situation where everybody wins the most possible is that they both take a small penalty by both of them confessing, right?
Something like that.
But then there's a strong incentive for one person to be a cheat.
Yeah. So think about this. So all these athletes. Let's say there's just two athletes, right? And they both are at the top, and the Olympics just comes down to two athletes, just to simplify the problem.
Flesh eating bacteria may simplify that problem.
Yeah. Well, there will only be two left by the time we get there. So it's gonna be true life. But let's say then, because each athlete knows that like if they go compete at the Olympics and if they win, then that's like their set, right? Mm-hmm. That's the peak of their sport. They're set for life. They've got all these great sponsorships. You know, they're going to be on a Wheaties box, whatever the fuck that's worth. And that's kind of
like Wheaties.
Yeah.
I think just for the sake of putting Olympians on it. I don't think anybody eats it. I think it's just a brand. It's a marketing.
It's a billboard.
So the idea here is, so you're sitting here thinking, okay, so I've been training my whole life. My next opportunity to do this is 4 years from now. And I don't know if I can make it then, right? Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to maintain my level of skill and fitness and whatever. I feel like I have to, like, this is my shot. I have to go now. There's this flesh-eating bacteria there. But if I don't go, somebody else is just going to come in and take my spot, mm-hmm. right? Like, somebody else is going to come in and swoop in and take it.
You're saying the sort of force propelling you to go to the Olympics, even though it's probably actually in your best, worst interest.
Yeah, because if nobody went... then they would have to just either postpone the Olympics and to a different location or whatever, but somebody's going to go, right?
It's the guy in the front row who stands up and now everybody has to stand up.
And if somebody goes, then they get to win and then everybody else misses out, right? And yeah, of course they get flesh-eating bacteria, but they also won the Olympics.
Hopefully before the flesh-eating bacteria.
Hopefully. Huh. Let's get to some questions.
Okay.
Enough about flesh-eating bacteria.
Have we covered all of our news items?
Yeah.
Where do these questions come from?
Podcast.bscotch.net. You can ask anonymously or with your BScotch ID and get a sweet, sweet perk.
Yeah.
And also a maybe semi-sweet or really bitter answer.
Yeah.
Maybe salty. Yeah.
Probably. It's fucking early in the morning.
There are so many flavors your answer could be.
Yeah. I put salt in my coffee this morning just to be ready for these questions.
Okay, so
that might be good.
This first question is actually a statement from an anonymous person. He says, I used to be a fan of Butterscotch Shenanigans, and now I'm an air conditioner.
What?
What is that, Lil John?
Lil John.
Lil John is in the studio, buddy. just make sure you check your filters every few months.
Yeah. Life as an air conditioner is actually
there's a lot of maintenance.
Much more complicated than life as a fan.
Yeah, you've got a hot side and a cold side constantly.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
I've got a fan that I've had running for like 3 years, and it doesn't give a fuck.
Wait, mm-hmm. a fan or an air conditioner?
A fan.
Oh, yeah.
And my air conditioner does give a fuck because it gets covered in dirt. Got to change those filters. Mm-hmm. You got to hose it off every now and then. You know.
So it's complicated. What this person is saying is that they're now suddenly very high maintenance.
Yeah.
And
so
we're
they
gonna
need
have
to get it together.
Yeah, pay a lot of attention to them.
Yeah,
that's contributing to global warming.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh.
So
that's
anonymous.
Adam, that's not how air conditioners work. They make things colder, you dummy, big dummo.
If only
they
that
just
were
generate
true.
Coldness.
I think the transition from a fan to an air conditioner.
Yeah, that's the part that is confusing.
Is I'm wondering how that go. You know,
does that mean they're also
how
no longer a fan?
Go?
Because there are three states here, right? They first existed, then they became a fan of butterscotch, and now they are an air conditioner.
So what's, well, are they what's an air the conditioner of butterscotch or just a regular air conditioner?
Just it's unimplied that they are an air conditioner of butterscotch, so mm-hmm. I must take that as that they are just a generic
just
air conditioner.
Just an air conditioner.
Are they our air conditioner?
No.
I mean, are you sure?
I haven't gone out and checked. Have you checked our air conditioner?
There
might just be a guy out there.
He's blowing into a pipe.
There might just be a person out there just blowing into the vent.
He's just like, he's just drinking cold soda and then blowing.
I love you guys.
And actually, there was a moment last week where the air conditioner wasn't working very well. Maybe that was the transition period when
Wait, here's a question.
When this person was unhooking everything and then plugging their mouth into the vent.
We hope it's their mouth.
If this transition were, you know, Pokemon-esque, right? So you start off as a fan.
Then lots of bright flashes.
Then you turn into an air conditioner. What's the third stage?
I think one
very
of those...
just a house?
Yeah, one of those like industrial-sized meat lockers.
A meat locker.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just a
or a
big
blast
ass
freezer.
Yeah. What's a blast freezer?
It's the one that's just so fucking cold. It's like blasting cold air so you can throw a boiling thing in there.
I thought you meant like
it
can freeze an explosion in place.
It can.
Snow machine.
A small enough explosion.
Snow machine, yeah. Man, it'd be fucking awesome if appliances worked like Pokemon, where at a certain point, like your toaster, you know, once you've made enough toast, it has enough XP, then all of a sudden... It
becomes like one of those Quiznos ones.
Yeah. You know? It just starts flashing, and you're like, do I hit B? Do I want to keep it? I don't know. It's going to get
never
some new moves.
You
know?
Does anybody ever hit B, for real, when it comes to Pokemon evolution?
Who hits B?
I've hit B.
Carol.
For what purpose?
There's supposedly some math behind it where if you keep leveling it up,
moves faster or something.
Yeah,
right?
And so there's moves that they can learn before they evolve, and I think they also get a little bit more powerful before they evolve. Mm. And then you can just level up different aspects of their stats and things.
There's that delayed gratification then, because you then level them at 98 or 99.
Yeah.
And then you evolve them.
Do they have level caps?
Yes.
Yeah. 99?
So level 100.
100?
Level 100.
Do they then...
Unless you're missing, no.
Do you get the chance to level them up every subsequent? Or you get the chance to evolve them every subsequent level up?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So you got to remember that every time they level, you got to remember to hit B or else you missed it.
What's stupid, though, is when you hit B after you give somebody an evolution stone.
Oh.
And that's just a horrible...
Why do they even let you do that?
Just in case. In case you did an accident.
Because it consumes the stone.
Yeah.
Which also begs the question where that stone goes.
They literally consume the stone.
Are you like, yeah, is it...
You just... They just open it. You just kind of...
Shove it down their
strong
gullet.
Strong arm it down their gullet, too.
Yeah, maybe they have... Maybe they have a crop. You know,
yeah, like
pigeons.
They just keep evolving stones in their
gizzards. Their gizzards.
Pokemon are gross.
All right, next question comes from Kaki-chan 2. When will the butterscotch logo tease be in stock for sale again?
That's a good question,
Carol.
So I think we actually discussed that the logo tease, as they just the plain old logo tease, will remain to be a studio only shirt. However, we have been working on a really great new design for fans.
It's already done, in fact.
Yes, that's going to be coming out probably within the next few weeks. Hopefully, if we can figure out a good solution for that.
Good distribution mechanism.
Mm-hmm. I'm currently in the process of researching good merch distribution outlets.
Yeah, it turns out it's stupidly hard. Just like find a good way to distribute things.
Yeah.
Doesn't. Because in this day and age.
You got to take the orders. Someone's got to take their creepily small hand, fold the tea, and then shove it into a small envelope.
It all has to be done with high quality.
And then take that to the post office and throw it
at
the post office
people. At a reasonable price.
This is why 3D printing technology needs to grow up.
You wouldn't download a shirt.
I would. I would download every
enough.
Shirt.
Yeah.
I'd 3D print that fucker right onto my body.
Is there a 3D?
Just lay there. Just lay there under the printer. And just
it would just slowly caress your...
Do you think
36 hours later,
aren't looms just 3D printers?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yes.
Well, no, they're 2D printers.
Oh, shit.
No, it's three-dimensional.
Barely.
It's two-dimensional and then wrapped around. And
well, I guess the way I'd say is it doesn't go up, right? It doesn't add any or subtract any Z value as it goes.
Correct.
But so there is Z value in the threads.
Right.
There is, but...
But.
But.
Value in
can we just say but again?
But.
Actually, that leads us to our next question.
Is it about butts?
Yeah.
I'm thrilled.
Says, butterscotch shenanigans is quite a mouthful. This is from Alan MB.
Are we sure this isn't Carol that put this question in here?
It's possible.
It's too convenient.
This is my idea. No, it's not actually. He just says, can we condense it to butt shenanigans? That yep. may get even more comments than the current t-shirt.
So I actually had a great idea, and I still think we should do it, which is we should update our splash screen on our games so that you can tap the letters to explode them individually.
Oh.
Which means if wanted it to be butt shenanigans, you could. You could do that. Just explode the rest of the word on the splash screen.
If you do it fast enough, I assume.
Yeah.
Or will it then add a cooldown every time you tap so you can keep on blowing things?
No, the splash screen's only up for a second, right? So you gotta be fast. You gotta be fast.
We should add a hidden perk for
spelling different words.
Yeah, for spelling different words.
That's a really good idea.
We could have a butt perk.
Scotch dams.
The splash butt perk. That'd be fun. I'm down.
Yeah. We had some very good reasons for keeping the name so long early on, which is that we wanted nobody to be able to contact us or to be fans of us, which was a poor choice.
Yeah.
Up front, we were like, we want to
mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure nobody could properly type in our website name mm-hmm. so they couldn't find our website.
The Google search results are hilarious when you look at how people get to our website because the ways that they
the spellings spelled. Are incredible.
Yeah. But they still made it. I still got there.
But if it was just butt shenanigans, I feel like people would be much more focused.
I feel like maybe the shenanigans might be the hard part.
I think it is.
Yeah. I'm currently formulating emoji ways to reflect butt shenanigans. So there's the peach, and then maybe the little confetti thing, and then a little explosion. And then the two girls in the bunny costumes dancing.
but shenanigans sounds like some kind of adult video series that
we
shouldn't go
down. It probably exists, and then we're going to end up in a trademark battle.
We're going to be in a trademark battle, which we should avoid.
Okay, so no butt shenanigans.
No probably not butt shenanigans.
Next question comes from Alan Falcon, who asks, so can we expect a 14-foot-tall, 4,000-pound brown statue of Hugo Duco in Taiwan to celebrate B-Scotch's 25th anniversary? So this is reference
really
here,
specific.
The reference is Blizzard, celebrating their 25th, did just this with, I can't remember if it was Lord Arthas or who was, but...
Probably Arthas.
One of their big characters.
Yeah.
He's now literally a huge character, 4,000-pound statue in Taiwan.
Yeah, let's do it. Just if we could just write that down so that in
put it in the calendar
21 years
we should get a small jar, a swearing jar,
mm-hmm.
and every time
that's our Hugo statue cursing. Dude, that jar would fill up.
Yeah, I was gonna say we'll have enough money tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, we won't have any money left, but the jar will have
a pretty good amount.
Yeah,
the jar will actually have enough money to purchase its own sentience.
Yeah,
yeah,
and the jar will take over butt shenanigans,
and the jar will kill us all. And the jar will rule the world.
And you'll be the one who welcomed this demon into our midst, Alan.
How
the
jar could demon. You?
Also, I saw, brief aside, it's not so much of an aside, someone put up a Pikachu statue.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
In New Orleans.
What?
Illegally.
Illegally?
Which blows, I didn't know you, I guess it's a you have to get like statue. A permit. To put it in a statue.
Wait, you can't put a 6-ton artwork in the middle of a public park.
Yeah, park.
Well, then it's obviously illegal. You can't.
Yeah,
you
they can't just put it. But I mean, then the you know jurisdiction's forced to then this interesting question, which is like, who's not going to like a huge Pikachu statue?
Nintendo probably. They're probably going to get sued.
But nobody knows who
nobody
put
knows
it there.
Who sued.
Somebody
sued
just
the city
put it there
because now because it's on the city's property. Exists,
yeah. The city has to remove
it's
it.
It's now the city's responsibility.
But actually, this is apparently how the bull on Wall Street got there.
Someone just put it there.
Oh, really?
As a I guess satirical piece or something, because it has like these huge balls and stuff, and everybody was like, oh yeah, this is cool, and we'll then they it. Just kind of everybody liked it and they just left it there.
Nice.
So maybe this Pikachu statue will get to.
I hope it does.
I want there to be more gorilla statue building. You know, like people just running around
statues of gorillas.
Well, that'd be cool.
Gorilla statue building?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, because that's the official name of gorillas is Gorilla Gorilla. So it's Gorilla Gorilla Gorilla.
Yeah.
A gorilla's
it's just gorillas all the way
gorilla,
down.
Gorilla.
It's Gorilla Gorilla.
It's like Boops Boops.
What?
Yes, the Boops Boops is a tiny fish.
its scientific name is Boops Boops.
Which is my favorite named creature anywhere.
That's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
So adorable.
If you've never heard of the Boops Boops, you should Google it. It's spelled exactly how you
think. Unfortunately, a very generic looking fish.
It is. Yeah.
It's what a child would draw.
If you're just like, I'm just going to draw just a fish, you probably drew a Boops Boops. You didn't even know.
But they're little, so at least they're cute.
Yeah.
In the way that fish can be.
All right, so I think we got time for one more question.
All right, this one comes from Gandvin, or perhaps Gandwin.
Gandwin.
Who asks, I for one support our lizard overlords. What are your opinions? This, you know, this comes up on the internet a lot.
The lizard overlords?
People are always talking about supporting overlords. And then submitting opinions about other people about these overlords. There's cat overlords. There's lizard overlords.
There's robot overlords coming.
Robot overlords.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Which overlords do you choose?
In the case of lizard overlords, you know, what are some specific
issues, what are the perks?
And,
what are the different advantages of the different sort of species of overlord, you know?
True.
Like, if you've got a lizard overlord, is that going to be different from having robot overlords?
Right.
At least lizards are biological creatures, and they will care maybe a little bit about climate change.
Maybe. But they're also
But they like hot weather. Yeah.
They're cold-blooded, and they're like, fuck it, it's hot. And they just lay there motionless for hours.
Global warming isn't just about stuff getting hotter. It's also about stuff getting colder, right?
It's about stuff getting...
That's true.
Just stuffer.
Just going crazy.
Yeah, but the net average is goes up. Warmer.
Fact. That's true.
Yeah.
So you're thinking the lizards would actually try to push global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's also the question, like, so robots, you know, they're gonna require a lot of power, right? So they're gonna be sort of ravaging the land much more so than we are. Just kidding, probably less actually, but but lizards, they eat like a mouse once every 6 weeks or something.
Yeah.
It's true.
So
they might eat us if they get big enough.
But only one, very slowly.
I mean,
but the question is, if the lizards were our overlords, would they be sympathetic to the fact that we basically just inhale, you know, 5% of our body weight in food every day? Or would they be like, God, these fucking humans are really high maintenance. We should just
eat them all.
Eat them.
Yeah. I have a hard time seeing any benefit from lizard overlords, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think they'd come to view us as pests? They'd be like, oh, the dang humans are in my yard again. You know?
Those gross squishy fuzzies.
What do you think? Like, we're building fields everywhere. We're doing all this ridiculous stuff.
We're just ants. Really big ants.
Yeah. The lizards, they just want to eat a mouse and just chill the fuck out for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And sleep in the sun.
Maybe change colors if they can.
Yeah, I kind
of
like
or just weirdly crawl out of their own skin every now and then.
Oh, that sounds
great. Just a hobby they have.
Yeah, well, one thing I would do, though, is replacing Ding Dong Ditch, is that you find a lizard.
Ding Dong Ditch. It took me a while to parse that.
I forgot that was a thing that happened.
Find a lizard who is eaten recently, so they're, you know, lethargic, and usually at nighttime because it's colder, so they can't move as fast, and then because most of their tails detach, right? So all you do is go grab its tail and then have someone startle it. And then
it's like cow tipping, sort of.
Yeah, but then you just steal its tail because it snaps off, you know.
Yeah, I think given how much jerks humans are to things,
that would totally
they're
happen.
Definitely going to eat all of us.
Because cow tipping is a perfect example of this. Like, cows sleep standing up and humans think it's hysterical.
Is that even true? I thought that wasn't actually true.
It is true. Apparently.
I'm going to Google it
now. This lizard detailing thing would be... Lizard detailing. It would be the start of the rebellion.
Put like a decals on your lizard.
Yeah. But also ripping their tails off.
Yeah, it would be the start of the revolution.
They'd probably invent some sort of armor with spikes around their tails.
Yeah. Well, it would be a sign of prestige in lizard culture that a human hasn't pulled your tail off recently, right?
So, recently.
Yeah. So all the higher ups, all of the super rich, you know,
upper, the 1%
the 1% lizards would have these long ass, luscious, flowing tails.
But you know, some of them are prosthetic. You know, some are fake.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are fake. They have implants.
Most of them are fake.
Yeah.
Because we humans, we're devious. Be ripping off tails day in, day out.
You can't stop us.
Maybe, but maybe lizard tails don't actually come off. Maybe like cows standing up when they sleep. It's just a myth, which is a myth, by the way.
You just busted that?
I did, according to Modern Farmer. If anybody knows
Well, then how do you tip over a cow?
Cow tipping isn't actually a thing people do.
It is a thing people do. I know people who have done it.
Maybe they intention to do it.
I've heard that story on numerous occasions.
Someone like sprinted into a cow?
Yeah, where someone was like, I'm going to go do some cow tipping. And then they like go off and they do their little adventure. But then do they actually tip the cows? Does that even happen?
Well, then they come back and they're like, we can't tell everybody that we went cow tipping and then learned that cows just lay down when they sleep and then went home. Cause that's a shitty story.
Or that they ran into a standing cow and it just hurt their shoulder because it weighs 700 pounds.
Yeah.
And has four legs instead of two.
And as a 90-pound 13-year-old, you can't, you can't push one over.
That's the thing. It's like, how do you think you could even push a cow over?
Yeah. So Anyway, cow tipping, probably not real. Lizard detailing, maybe.
Definitely.
We don't know.
Sign me up for that.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. We had to do a shorter one today because we are pre-recording before we start everything. So, mm-hmm.
And the dog got out of dog jail.
The dog escaped dog jail, and now she's rampaging through the house.
snuggling
everyone to death.
So look out for the release of Crashlands on GOG, and keep up with the lore on the website.
Tuesdays?
The new website, bscotch.net.
And if you want to submit some questions for next week, podcast.bscotch.net is your place to go. And otherwise, keep in touch with us on the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams. We are all over the place now.
And as one final note, something that we've never really done, if you like this podcast, please tell people about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe leave a review.
Just some word of mouth.
Leave a review, you know, get a podcast app on your phone or whatever and subscribe to it and tell everybody else you know to do the same if you think they would like it.
We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud. We're on some other stuff.
Google Play.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So subscribe, give us reviews, tell everybody. We'd appreciate it. It would help us out a lot.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.